something that has overshadowed it. Adrian Wojnarowski on fans going ape bleep.
Listen, this is a great cause for concern for the NBA. First of all, players should not be subjected to this. But also, it's overshadowing the playoffs. And so this is certainly a trend that the league wants very much to stop. I think individual teams do too. And you're seeing arenas, teams filing criminal charges against individuals. The man in Boston last night, they asked Trae Young in New York whether he wanted to file charges against or wanted files charges charges filed against the man who spit on him at Madison Square Garden. The hope in the league is that kind of deterrent, not just that you're going to get your tickets taken away or you're going to get banned from an arena, but that you're going to face criminal charges, that ultimately is going to stop this. It hasn't yet.
It's interesting, though, and I'm glad he kind of said that only because I was curious if there was, you know, grounds for criminal charges, and maybe not with the water bottle aspect, but certainly with spitting aspect. But, you know, I won't go into the whole, you know, rehabilitation and deterrence and what really, you know, criminal charges and prison in America is kind of intended for. But it's not a deterrent. It's just not. Sociology's like studies will tell you that it's not. Like, I think Raphael was on it earlier when he said money talks. And like I said, I think a hefty fine way more of a deterrent for a sports fan than criminal charges were. Like you said, it could give the wrong person or the right person, depending on how you look at it, a sense of street cred. So
that's what I'm saying. Like the fan yesterday that runs out at the Wizards game, like ran on the court and tried to touch the net. That was mild, but, you know, the jump's talking about it right now. Like what is going on here? You know, and I do wonder from that psychological standpoint of the copycat stuff. You know, you've had copycat killers, copycat people that try to do different things. I wonder if that's the aspect on this. It's not just Brian Windhorst.
The social contract of an NBA game, you know, where there's no barrier. There's a very intimate seating. The trade-off that you make for having that incredible, intimate way to take in a game is that you respect the player's space. The players come closer to the fans in basketball than any other major sport.
You know, last weekend, we're watching the PGA Championship. We called it a spectacle. Look at, we kind of chuckled about it. But even on Monday of last week, Matty, I was like, you cannot walk up to Phil Mickelson and tap him on his back and like smack his bottoms and tell him good job as he's walking up the 18th green. He still needs to make some shots for the tournament to win the championship. Like they apologize to him, but that's unbelievable. Now again,
it's disturbing how much
they were,
yeah,
if you want to say friendly, but Brooks Koepka, it took him 5 minutes to get through the throng of people to get to the green. And he was putting for sole possession of second place. That's a massive difference check wise. And something that you put in your title, runner up. I just, like, this isn't just the NBA. Like,
yeah.
And that is a game that, my goodness, you have fans that find it upon themselves and are entitled enough to call in when they on TV see a rules violation. This is a sport that carries itself with the most uppityest of stuff. You know, the way they dress and the way they are.
You're talking about rule
membership
violations
and all of that. They literally couldn't control fans from surrounding two people trying to play for a championship. It looked great. It was a now we've seen there's a, you know, separation in the past where fans can follow them to get a view. And yes, they circle the green. That was not it. They literally were surrounding the players and they had to walk through the fans to get to the green. But Matty, all it takes is one fan. One fan who's a Koepka guy. Bleep Phil. And wax him on. I don't know. I'm just saying. That's nuts to me. I don't know what's going on with people. I mean, I get we haven't been to arenas and venues for a while. But what in the is going on? I mean, literally, in a 7 to 10 day span, it's not just one sport. It's other sports where we're seeing people act insane. And I don't understand it.
I'm like trying to like not go too into this, but
right,
it's hard. Like, okay, I might pee off a lot of people, but I don't think we can ignore the previous administration's effects on people feeling this sense of entitlement and, like, his kind of brash, outspoken, I can say and do whatever I want thing. And then everyone's just been, you know, separate from that, cooped up for a year. And, like, as much as I was just talking about introverts and how, like, things can be difficult from them before, I kind of joked that that last year was, like, the introvert's reckoning, because I was pretty much doing fine in quarantine, but a lot of extroverted people right. were genuinely losing their mind and, like,
drinking a lot. Yeah,
honestly, like, you lose, you know, basic social skills. And so I think that there's just a lot of things kind of going on at once, and, like, just this, like, you know, insane, like, you know, we're back and we're loud about it kind of thing. And right. I don't know how to act, because I've had all of these feelings that I've only, like, been able to express
it's just
on
nuts
Twitter.
To me, like, I can't wait. I can't wait for the Saints Packers game. I'm looking forward to hearing a sold out dome and doing that. I don't know what or if anything would pop in my head. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to chunk something at a player, you know. Bleep you, Aaron Rodgers. You know, I'm
like, well, we were talking about, like,
I want to be a part of that again and be in part of the environment. I don't know. It's just, I do think, though, and it's been something we've talked about, and we did this here on the show. We never missed, you know, during COVID. We were always, and we had psychologists on. We had, you know, vitamin experts. I think people, it's never happened before.
Right.
You know, I mean, the world shut down. Some people could handle that and some people couldn't. People were affected financially. People were affected emotionally, mentally. I know way too many people that relationships ended, from marriages to boyfriend, girlfriends to whatever, because of that. Politics took on a life that I've never seen before in this country. All of that in literally a calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I almost feel like I don't want to excuse that. I'm like, okay, I went through it too.
Right.
I'm not going to go chunk something and Nick Saban.
Right. I think a lot of the time, yeah.
You know, I'm not going to run on the field. I don't know.
Right. To me, a lot of the time, it's giving context. It's not giving justification.
Right.
And like, just using it to explain, you know, what factors could possibly be at play here, when there seems to be a pattern and it's not restricted to a geographical area, to a specific sport, to a specific type of person. It's in like you were just talking about Phil Mickelson during the NBA game. It's not an isolated thing. So to, you know, ignore the factors of last year, it's not excusing them, but it's providing context to hopefully be able to also come up with solutions. You have to be able to have context of the situation, and that's how I feel about
it. I like
things.
The context. That's interesting. To the phone lines we go. Stevie on the On Deck Circle, the GOAT, joins us. What's up, Cajun GOAT? How are you?
All right, my man. It seemed like I picked Dallas last week as one of the best teams in the West, and they went and lose to. So it worked out great because the Lakers lost.
Anyone
so
else?
It all worked out for me.
Gus. Who else you? So what are we doing tonight? Go Lakers. How's that? What are we doing tonight? Go Lakers against the Suns?
Oh, no. Yeah, Lakers got this. Totally got it. But on retrospect about all the violence happening in the stands and everything that y'all talking about, I'm just going to weigh in a little bit on this.
Sure.
You got 15,000 people in there, maybe 18 for the basketball games. And there's no excuse for what these people are doing. I'm not giving any excuses for what the people are doing. Dropping of the popcorn, the NBA has to do better. There shouldn't be a way you could get to a player right at the edge of a balcony. So I think the league's got to do a little bit better job of maintaining what's going on. And I think it also comes down to the security in the arenas. Are they shorthanded because people are not making money or they don't have the jobs or whatever? I don't know what's going on with that. But the only one I really don't have a big issue with, but even though I think the guy is totally wrong for throwing the water bottle, but I think it would have helped Kyrie if he could have hit him with it. Because Kyrie's way of thinking sometimes
right.
is kind of crazy to me. I think he could have knocked something loose and make him think a little differently. But I don't think you should be, as a player, I don't think a player should antagonize a fan base either. Because you might have 15,000 people, Gus, but you know there's one idiot in 15,000 that's going to do something stupid. So I think
I hear you that people get that bent too. Out of shape, right? I mean, look, years ago, you know, Auburn smoking cigars on the LSU logo, stomping on it, all those different things. But even like I explained in the beginning of the show, Maddie, I still think what I would want to then happen, like let's say Atlanta comes in and wins and does that, then Cam Jordan says, I'm already counting down to the, like, let the team then respond and show me, you know, like it, I guess that's how I feel. I'm in terms of, okay, stomped on my logo. That's what sports talk radio is for. If I want to go to Twitter, I think there's other avenues
Let's start with Kyrie though, but Kyrie started before it even got about the logo.
I know, but he
started it way before the logo.
Right.
Yeah, but that doesn't get someone the right.
Why are you going
to
go in front of that? Why are you going to go in front of a Lions then with a piece of meat and just walk by and laugh at them?
I hear you. So I can boo, but I can do a lot of other things. I can boo. I can bring a sign where his face is superimposed on a baby. I mean, like, there's a lot of things I can do. I guess my thing is just something physical. You know, it's the same thing. Like,
I got you. I'm not saying what he did was right.
Doesn't care for you and breaks up with you.
I believe everything that the guy got, everything that they're doing to the guy that threw the bottle, most definitely needs to happen, if not worse. Yeah. So it deters other people from doing it. Sure. I'm not saying it's right. But I'm also not going to say that Kyrie was right in the way he handled himself in going back to a place that he played. And knowing that you have passionate fans, knowing that you got crazy people, knowing that, you know, the mental health issue in America after COVID is not really great, to do something like that, it doesn't bring you into the light. You understand, Gus? Like, we have a lot of mental health issues with people right now from the COVID, being like you're talking about, you know, with the divorces and this and that. And then, you know, when you poke the bear, something's going to happen.
I just think that it's a dangerous precedent to put the onus on players to kind of be responsible for the reactions of fans. I get where you're coming from to a degree, but to me, you know, there have been players that like to chirp, and they're just competitive players. And sometimes they cross the line. Yeah, a little bit, but I just think when we, you know, are saying a player shouldn't do this, a player shouldn't do that, unless they're, you know, on the field saying, you know, racist, sexist, homophobic things that are, you know, actually detrimental to the fan base. Not that that also invites any type of physical contact, but whatever a player does on the court that's, you know, especially within the confines of competition, be it, you know, that they might be a little inappropriate, you know, based on your opinion, but I think it's just a dangerous precedent to say that, you know, it's up to the players that should be responsible for this, because, you know, they can, you know, basically, I just think we put a lot on players to, you know, not just provide us entertainment, but to be the ones to kind of, you know, control themselves when, you know, people just shouldn't be throwing water bottles at others.
Okay, you go. I do.
Well,
think
let's take Kyrie for an instance, because I'm not talking about the other players, or if a player wants to say, you know, we're going to beat the crap out of it or do this to this team or that team. Kyrie started at the beginning of the week about calling the whole fan base racist and that he didn't want to be called the N-word and all this other stuff. He went a little further than everybody else. I'm not putting the onus on all players. I'm putting the onus on Kyrie, because Kyrie started it before he even got there. And when you poke the bear with, like, the mental health issues we have with all these people, you're going to get something's going to end up happening. And I think he needs to maybe kind of watch some of the things he say. If he wants to say, look, we're going to go in there and dog the Celtics, that's fine.
It's an interesting take. We'll look at it from that perspective, because if he's shouting towards fans, is that different or the same than stomping on the logo? I think if you're antagonizing the fans with what you're saying, yeah. At the same time, like I said, I
think asking people not to be racist is not necessarily the most unreasonable thing, but that's just me.
Steve, we're coming to you right out of the break, and then we'll bring in Marlon Faber. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Mike to tell you, for Neil, Small Engine Incorporated. Listen up. That's what we did at Gravely. We listened to lawn professionals. Then we brought the professional performance home. Gravely residential zero-turn mowers show the neighborhood that you mean business. Zero turns that are as tough as nails, operator comfort beyond compare. We've had 100 years of professional advice to perfect cutting performance. Just drop the deck, put the neighbors on notice. Gravely, driven from within. At Neil, Small Engine Incorporated. Locations in Houma, LaRose, and Thibodeau.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807. Highway 311 in Houma.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
It's so on. The SiriusXM Listen pre-event is happening now. Just press the sat button in your car to hear over 100 channels, including ad-free music of every kind, plus sports play-by-play and talking news for everyone. Enjoy even more free when you download the SXM app. Hear expertly curated podcasts, ad-free extra channels of music for any mood, SiriusXM video, and the ability to create your own Pandora music stations. Don't miss out. Listen free now.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks, and is proven by deep threes as the shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game. And now it's time to discover where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven.
What is hope? Hope to me was just that he would get to come home. I had no idea how hard it would be once he got back.
I wish she'd stop drinking so much. She thinks it's helping, but it's not. I hope she sees that soon.
I act like I don't care if he comes to my games. But I hope he does.
I used to hope he'd find happiness again. Now I hope our marriage makes it.
I hope Grandpa will get help. He thinks it's too late, but it's not.
With everything that he's going through, I hope he sees a counselor. I just want my brother back.
I hoped he'd get help. Stop hoping things would get better on their own. He told me to stop asking. I didn't. Then one day he asked for a ride.
Hope is knowing there are other families just like yours, that the veterans they love got help and recovered. Go to maketheconnection.net and turn hope into action.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Can we talk sports? Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome to the Sports Hangover. Gus Kattengill, Matty Hudak, Marlon Favorite on the on deck circle, or perhaps warming up in the tunnel, ready to take the field. First, I want to get to Steve. Thank you for holding on, sir. What you got for us today?
Hey, I'm listening to this conversation about fan behavior, particularly in the NBA, mm-hmm. and I have two things to say. The first thing I'll say is, when you go to a game, you go for one reason, and that reason can be encapsulated in six words: to be entertained, mm-hmm. not the entertainment. Okay, so if you go to a basketball game, it entitles you to cheer, boo, and do all those things. And people have said that before. Sure. But if your ego is so fragile, yeah. that another human being stepping on a space on the floor with malicious intent or with the intent of causing you some distress, and it crushes your spirit to the point where you feel like you need to throw a water bottle, you forfeit that right to go to any sporting event. And I would put forward that he should be banned from Red Sox games, Patriots games, Celtics games, Bruins games, wherever he wants to go in America to go to a sporting event. He has forfeited that right.
I love the way that you phrased that.
Yeah.
They come to be entertained, not the entertainment.
Here's what's interesting too, Steve. You hear Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal actually said this yesterday. He's like, I guarantee you none of those people would say that to me in person or talk to me after the game. You want to really make it for entertainment for, how about this, Maddie, for, you know, charity purposes. You got a problem with somebody? No problem. You throw something, that player will be waiting for you down in the parking lot. We'll even put some gloves on you if you'd like, you know? I mean, but it's nuts. I'm with you, Steve. Go ahead.
I know you got to get the big face. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. If this society has a bad habit of blaming the victim, all right, she shouldn't have worn that dress. She shouldn't have worn that short skirt. He shouldn't have stepped on the logo, so he got what he had coming to him. Mm-hmm. That's BS, man. That's BS. And I'm going to tell you, everybody's responsible for their actions. You can't be responsible for someone else's reaction. This guy has paid a lot of money to entertain us. And if part of that entertainment is stepping on the logo to get the fans to boo, why should he be putting his life at risk?
You are saying, like, we're literally in the studio right now, like, putting our hands up in praise. Like, I was just going to say before, I think you bring up a good point and it of, like, the banning of, you know, fans from all this, because I think there is an important example to set, because I do think, like you just said, the life thing comes into it. It was a water bottle today, but
right.
If that's not, you know, tomorrow. Given consequences,
and
then
we don't know how full
people.
That was or not. I promise you, I throw something a couple rows up and right. I hit you in the right spot in the eye. What if all of a sudden Kyrie Irving right. can't play that next game because of a bruised
corneal?
But
it's a water bottle now. What if it's,
you know, I'm just being serious.
Something that's more dangerous
I
the next
it hard.
Time.
Jordan had his nose broken by a foul ball, incidentally. What if that bottle breaks his nose and now he can't play or has to wear a mask? First off, he should do it.
Yeah, I have one last point to make, and then I'm going to get out of y'all way. Deuce Brown could never play in the NFL again when the referee threw a flag and hit him in the eye. That's an inherent risk of the game. That happened. He sued the NFL, the Players Association backed him and everything, and he was good. But I will say this. The leagues can get together, because we see what's happening right now with Naomi Osaka, where all of the Grand Slam tournaments got together and said, if you don't do interviews, this is what's going to happen to you. Well, why can't all the leagues get together and create one code of conduct for fans? Boom.
There it is. Steve?
Steve, you are the MVP.
No, I mean, that's what I asked today on the show. What can leagues or should leagues or teams and arenas do to do
this? This is not a state-by-state issue. This is a code of conduct for 100%. The United States of America.
Yep.
And the federal government doesn't need to be involved because we're all about personal responsibility in the conservative South. So guess what? Businesses, you get together, make it safe for me to come and spend my money there, or guess what I won't do?
Steve, you want to host Friday?
I was going to say, my God.
Want to come in?
I'm writing down comments that you've said word for word.
I'll feel completely fine when I'm in Miami. I appreciate that. Thank you, Steve, for the phone call, man. Don't be a stranger.
Genuinely.
There you go, Steve. Good phone call.
But
look, that's the point, though, right? I mean, I do think people need to do that. Marlon Favorite, a big Fave 504, is a way to follow him over on Twitter. Normally speak on Monday and Friday, but yesterday we were in observance of all those men and women that wore the uniform and wear the uniform. Marlon, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Hello, somebody. What's up, Goose, man? And
doing fine.
You know, I want to definitely give a shout-out to Russell Favorite, one of my dad's first cousin. He's actually a recipient of the Purple Heart, man. Actually saved his whole platoon back in Vietnam. So shout-out to that Favorite as well.
Russell.
Absolutely.
Wow. That was a tough time, that one, for sure. I mean, you do that, I can't get past the mosquitoes. No, I'm kidding. I'm not making light of that. I don't know how some of those, I honestly don't. Hearing the stories and seeing that and what
I mean,
those people came back with.
Worked in the VA and mental health for a couple of years. So, yeah, no, absolutely. And that's an incredible,
good shout out, man. Yeah. Thank you for that, Marlon. Let me ask you along those lines, we'll get into some specifics, obviously, as we get closer now. We're in the month of June. We will have a mini camp, and I've asked Maddie and others to give me an offensive and defensive player that I think needs to have a big year for the Saints. And it may not mean statistically. I went with the center, and I went with whoever is going to replace Malcolm Brown. But before that, the fan stuff, man. You follow the NBA. You're going to be watching tonight as LeBron miraculously takes his team to a game 4 win or game 5 win, right? I mean, you follow it. Dude, what is going on, man? In the last 7 to 10 days, we've seen people not let Phil Mickelson and Koepka get to the 18th green. We've seen water bottles hurled, expletives hurled, spitting on players, a fan running onto the court yesterday. I mean, what What is up, man? How do you see this? And as somebody that's played football and competed at its highest level and won a national championship in the Super Bowl, how do you view this?
Well, first and foremost, man, I definitely want to give Steve his props. I thought he did an excellent job explaining everything and broke it down. I was listening to him before I came on. He really hit some really good points. Man, first and foremost, Gus, I think a lot of times fans forget that the actual players are human beings. This isn't a video game or anything like that. So I do think that at some point the league should address that, all leagues, just to have some type of regulation for a fan. If something like that happens, some major fine, like you can't go to a game no more, like you get banned, because at the very end of the day, the players are there to entertain and not just be your entertainment in that sense, or where you can throw anything at it. Like, it's just insane. And, you know, my thoughts on it in that regard, I do think that, Gus, fortunately, I've never had, like, a can hit me or anything like that. Now, I played arena ball, and a little bit of SEC games got rough. I didn't have some drink kind of come down and sprinkle on me and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, hey, but to be real with you, these fans do need to go check themselves, because they get too caught up in fandom. You know, they get too caught up in, and knowing or thinking that they're protected. Like, players are paying attention, too. Some guys can probably spot out exactly who did it, you know, just because our eyes are on the swivel. So, you know, I don't think that's fair on the flip side to protect the players. And, hey, bro, you got to deal with that parking lot after. Hello, somebody.
Well, see, Marlon just said the same thing, too. Like, Westbrook said it. A couple of the other guys said it. You wouldn't do that to me, you know, in front of me. Kevin Durant said, like, do that to me in front of me and say that. I don't know, Marlon. Like, I asked, what can you do? We've brought up fines. We've brought up, you know, banishments. You know, Steve said you're banned from watching sports in the country. What do you think, Maddie?
Well, I think, Marlon, I think you brought up a good point kind of inadvertently when you said that, you know, the players can kind of spot them, too, and see who did it. I think another thing that really needs to be emphasized is fan accountability for other people. You know, if you're in the Superdome, there's 70,000 people, and someone chucks something, it might be hard to initially discern, you know, who did that. But I think as fans, if we want to be fans and go to games and enjoy the privilege that it is to be entertained, like you said, I loved Steve on earlier where he said, we come to be entertained and not be the entertainment. I think we would go a long way if fans also joined in holding that accountability, and if they saw the person that did that reporting it and saying something, and really being proactive in that as well, because that, you know, we talked about this earlier. A lot of the time when, you know, a teammate does something wrong, the entire team gets punished because it's a team sport. I think that same sense should be applied to fans, and we could easily lose the privilege to attend games if these, you know, bad apples spoil the bunch for everyone else. So as much as I think that the league also, there needs to actually be consequences, I think that fans also, you know, now might have a responsibility, you know, to be that kind of, you know, that whistleblower if need be.
Right.
Yeah, and especially too, Matt, you make a good point with the cameras as well. I mean, I think with technology, the way we're getting all these different angles of players catching the footballs or, you know, making a decent three-point shot for basketball, catch that fan who violated, put them on blast, got each angle, and, you know, it's criminal at the very end of the day. That is a charge. If you're throwing an object at someone,
yeah,
that is an act of violence. That's some type of trying to cause harm. So, yeah, that's something that definitely needs to come to the front. Especially, I don't know. And, oh, Gus, to answer your initial question, you know, I really got lost on this subject because it is an interesting subject. I think if you look at the grand scheme of things, the way everything going from your original question, I mean, the pandemic, brother, I think the fact that places are able to have fans and people have just been locked in for so long and it's like glad to be out, but in the wrong way. So I don't know if the trend of, you know, these events happening in the past 7 to 10 days have to do with the actual mandate of the masses having to come off in certain areas that you're vaccinated, and people have just been stuck, zombied the last year, and they happen to be out again in sports.
Marlon, I'm going to take the break because it came to you a little late, but we wanted to get Steve's call in as well. So if you don't mind, we can keep you another 3-4 minutes out of the break.
Sure.
Because I want to ask you something specifically, especially about, tell me why the jump right now has on the lower third on TV. How much pressure is on LeBron tonight? It's incredible. When you guys won game two, the Suns were done. Greatest of all, just how it works with LeBron. I'm kidding. I'm having fun with you since I know you're a LeBron fan. Quick break. We'll come back. I'll ask Marlon something specifically because, again, he played in one of the, quote-unquote, toughest conferences, best fan bases, and best sometimes isn't best for the opposing team. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
The new year is here. Aside from thankfully saying goodbye to 2020, it's time to say goodbye to the old you as well. Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengell from Men's Total Health. Last year, did you notice any physical changes in you? Reduced energy or libido, increased body fat, ED, brain fog? You know, it could be low T. If you're suffering from low T, you don't have to accept it. Hormone balance can help you be your best self. Improve quality of life and relationships. Visit menstotalhealth.net or call 504-777-7590 to schedule an appointment. They accept all major insurances and tell them you heard it on the Sports Hangover.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell.
Sports Hangover. Maddie and Gus and Marlon. All right, so you've played in a lot of different arenas and venues, right? I mean, from all the SEC stadiums and stuff, and even some in the NFL as well. It's a different perspective than for me. Like, I had 2 years on the Saints sideline and got to feel some of that stuff. I was on the Tulane sideline for 12 years. UL Lafayette was actually one of the worst for me. I mean, I legitimately, I had to move, like, in front of where the team was and on the bench and just away. I got called things I hadn't been called, you know, for like it was brutal. I mean, Todd, it was so bad. And Todd will tell you this, the graph, that I had to do my pregame because I used to do the pregame on the field, you know, to get the ambience and the crowd and the band and people warming up and everything. Marlon, you know, you're close over at UL, the Raging Cajuns field. And I mean, there's not maybe 2 feet between the front row and the where you're sitting to get your rest where your bench is. And they were letting some Tulane players have it, and they were looking straight ahead. They're a lot more used to it than me, but I was called every word you can think of that I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, to the point I had to move to the field to do my pregame show because the cussing and the N-word and all this stuff was coming towards me. I was like, oh my God, I've never, so, and that threw me the bleep off. And I was, you know, I was like, wow. So I know you guys have experienced that. And how much of that is you feel in the game acceptable? What's not? What's right? Because again, you played in what we consider quote unquote the best fan bases in college football, which we know sometimes that is in a friendly environment. It is meant to be hostile to an extent. And I accept that. But from your perspective, having played in a lot of these SEC schools and teams, what do you think is right or not? And what did you go through?
Well, playing in the SEC, going to like Mississippi State, Ole Miss, some, you know, Florida, I've heard the N-word a gazillion times, man. It to the point, unfortunately, we've become numb to hearing that at games. And at the same time, just the typical boos are okay, right, Maddie, right, Gus? But
yeah.
When you're getting being extremely disrespectful, you know, I'm somebody's son, or somebody's plural, you know, somebody's father, and you're coming at me with this. So the respect thing with fans, that's something that definitely should be checked. But unfortunately, the powers to be kind of put those things on a smaller scale of an issue for the simple fact, hey, the money is coming through with the fans. And, you know, if we don't want to make the sport too soft or put any pressure on them, but you have to also think about the product too. So I do believe, Gus, that this is something that will be addressed, especially with the amount of back-to-back issues we've been seeing with it. But it's just something in sports that we've been dealing with for a very long time.
There's no way college football and the NFL aren't looking at this. This is why I teased it earlier. I said, I bet you fall sports will absolutely have a plan moving forward this and see how the NBA is going to react to this. Again, we'll see.
Yeah. And I Marlon, I think you did bring up like an interesting point, though, kind of in there about, like, you know, the league kind of doing things about it, because I think there is something to be said about, you know, again, money talks, go back to that on the same side of the league's perspective and a lot of different things, you know, that if they, you know, but we might say they should ban fans to send a message, but from a monetary perspective, they're never going to do that. So I do think that a lot can be done through the movement of people as well. And like I said, I think, it, you know, fans themselves kind of just stood up for this and kind of helped push that movement forward. A lot of the time that forces leagues to take action in a way with that. This isn't the same note, but, you know, with that video that Michael Thomas put together during, you know, everything that happened with George Floyd, with all of the NFL players, that kind of forced the league's hand to finally actually address that racism basically exists. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, what had happened with Colin Kaepernick was wrong. And so the players were able to do that then, but I think that it could be powerful if fans themselves also kind of join together in this, because it's, you know, there's still that business aspect of it from leagues and ticket sales that it's hard for me to at least ignore.
Yeah, I agree with that too, Maddie. And last year was such a pivotal point in this whole deal, because the amount of power that was in one pitcher, right? You remember Patrick Mahomes, Michael Thomas, Tyrann Mathieu. It wasn't just a Colin Kaepernick speaking up about these mm-hmm. issues. And unfortunately, not to take away from any of the credibility for the NFL and how they were able to handle and align those things, because they jumped on top of it, as y'all saw, to be back of the end zones, in racism, you know, so on and so forth. Let's do this together. It takes all of us, the different quotes, to be politically correct. So this is something still we're looking to see the steps and what they're going to do, especially coming up this season, on how they're going to handle a lot of these issues, because it does exist. And we do understand that, you know, over 70% of your ticket sales come from the majority of America, which happens to be Caucasian. But at the same time, we all have an ability to respect each other. And it's something I think moving forward, the league will take seriously.
Marlon, before we wrap up, and again, thanks for staying throughout the bottom of the hour, but I asked Maddie, give me an offensive player and a defensive player you think needs to have a big year for the Saints. And I don't mean just statistically. Obviously, I went center and whoever replaces Malcolm Brown. Look, I could have gone Kamara, could have gone Thomas, could have gone quarterback. I get it. But Teddy Bridgewater over the weekend brought up how much in Sean Payton's offense he's responsible for. Mike identifying, you know, protection calls, all that stuff with the new QB. To me, the center, whoever that is, whether it's Caesar Ruiz, whether it's McCoy again, I think is key. So that's why I kept it in the trenches and thought you would appreciate that. I need the run stopper, and I need to make sure my center starts to, you know, take control of that line, whoever that is. Where would you go? Give me a player in offense and defense you think needs to have a good year for the Saints, regardless of stats.
I mean, I'll start off on the offensive side of the ball. I would naturally say Tre'Quan Smith, just simply because I feel like he falls to the back of the leaders, receivers that are looked on to be leaders. Mm-hmm. But it's not on him. y'all know I'm not going to get off this show without bringing up Inside the Trenches, baby, and that's where the game is won and lost. So I think offensively, on the offensive line, we need a solid year. I mean, a very solid year from Andreas Peak. Not just make the Pro Bowl badly. I'm talking about not only be a Pro Bowler, but also a leader on that line. He's someone that's been in the organization as long as, well, close to as long as Armstead has been there. Defensively, staying on the line, Marcus Davenport has to have a big year. To me, this is a make-or-break year for him in regards to making big plays. We've seen him look effective and consistent in the run stop, but we need you to get after the quarterback, start to give, because Cam got double-teamed all the time because they know that Marcus Davenport wasn't winning all of his one-on-one. So those two guys, Andreas Peak and Marcus Davenport, if they have lights-out years, that offense will be able to get back into its normal rhythm, and then I think we'll see some more sacks and big production from the defense.
I think it's funny because, you know, all of this offseason chatter is surrounded Jameis versus Taysom, but now, you know, just to say our things earlier, Gus said center, I said Cesar Ruiz, and you said Andreas Peak. So, you know, as much as we focused on the quarterback battle, you can't have a quarterback without the trenches.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah.
That's the way that offense works. Sean's going to dial it up. You could be Willie Snead. You could be any receiver. It's going to work because of the way it's dialed up. But it has to have time to develop. And the only time players can develop is through the O-line. So,
that's a good point. Marlon Favorite, Inside the Trenches is the podcast. At Marlon, at Big Fave 504 is the way to follow Marlon over on Twitter. Looking forward to chatting with you, man. Short week. I actually won't be chatting with you on Friday. Got a fill-in host on Friday. Why don't you know who that is there?
Read hello.
Somebody. Yeah, yeah, I'll let you know. I'm going to be in Miami, dude. I'm sorry. I got to go to Miami. Got not South Beach, but close enough.
Welcome to Miami.
Just singing in my head, so thank you.
I promise. It's just a birthday I got to go to and attend. I'm not, I will try not to have as much fun. I'm going on a boat, too, in the bay.
I am.
It's going to be a really good weekend. It's going to be a good weekend.
You're going to go have fun for me and Maddie back here.
Yeah. Yes.
I may or may not be sending you photos or videos. I'm just letting you know. Just letting you know. Anyway, thank you, Marlon. We'll talk at the end of the week.
Talk later, y'all.
All right, appreciate it. Final segment when we come back. Along those lines, though, what did you think of what Teddy had to say? And does it change your perception as to who you think will win this quarterback battle? We'll go over that when we come back. Final segment of the Sports Hangover. Still time for you to chime into the conversation. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. Celtics Nets, 6:30. Portland Denver, 8 o'clock. And then LA and Phoenix. Series is tied up at 2-2. No AD, looks like, tonight. Absolutely. All on the shoulders of LeBron James. Tune in.
Sports Just Hangover. As the NBA wanted it.
Exactly. ESPN New Orleans. Right up and don't be shy.
Here's football legend Howie Long for Skechers Arch Fit Shoes.
Do you like comfort? Of course you do. Everyone does. But if you've never tried Arch Fit Shoes from Skechers, you're missing out on next level comfort. Saying you like comfort but not trying Arch Fit is like saying you like Italian food but you've never tried pasta. You're missing out on the number one thing. Because with Arch Fit, Skechers created a whole new kind of comfort. They teamed up with podiatrists who used over 20 years of data to create a shoe that provides total foot and arch support for all-day comfort. ArchFit distributes support across the arch no matter what foot type you have. You don't need an arch problem to love how they feel. And you say you have a passion for comfort but haven't tried them? That's like saying you're a sports fan but have never watched football. It makes no sense. So if you're the kind of person who claims to like comfort, stop what you're doing and try a pair of ArchFit exclusively from Skechers. Then you'll finally understand true comfort.
See all the styles of comfortable, machine-washable Arch Fit shoes now at Skechers.com.
If you're an attorney who struggles with the balance of managing your practice and practicing law, consider Lexicon as your number one pick. From client intake to billing and all that comes in between, Lexicon doesn't miss a thing. Our comprehensive solution combines best-in-class software and services to take care of your firm's most critical challenges, automating many of the tasks that take time out of your day. It's all about giving you more of your billable hours back. And who doesn't love more revenue? No more searching for practice management that works. Lexicon marks the spot. Visit lexiconservices.com to learn what Lexicon can do for you.
Bart and Han.
You know, whenever you're forcing somebody to do something, you want people to do it for the right reasons. And I think you only get that by exposure and being able to maybe have some type of assistant coaches award where you have all these assistant coaches in one place. Then that way you have the owners there and then they have opportunity to engage. And yeah, you're going to have some type of tampering, but they get to engage and get to see these people as people.
Bart and Han, weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Mac, it is the Sports Hangover. At Matty Hudak 94 underscore?
Matty Hudak underscore 94.
I'll eventually we'll get it. Yeah. I'm an underscore too. G-Cat underscore 7.
Put a post-it on the wall.
I probably should.
It says Matty Hudak underscore 94 no matter what.
Exactly right. So Theodore, I don't even know if it's Theodore.
Theodore.
Is it? Is it Teddy? I know it's Teddy. That's one of the things, though, yeah. For sure. So Teddy, over the weekend, you know, because everybody else is doing OTAs. It's not a shot.
It's Theodore Edmund Bridgewater. Well, see, there and that you is go. A
All right.
name.
That's a good name.
That is a authoritative.
Mine's Gustavo Emanuel Kattengau the Third.
Mine is Madeline Dolores Hudak. So I like
Dolores.
Yeah. Grandma's name.
Yeah, I'm the third. Which, by the way, this is just something personal. Like, dad goes by this. You need to put Junior in there, man, because then people think we're the same. And my grandfather has the same name too. He's dead. I've had somebody say, "You're not alive." I'm dead. I'm like, why did
Matt's
I become
in
the third?
Family? We disturb them between a Big Matt, Crazy Matt, Little Matt, and that has seemed to work for us. So
It's. Trust me, I'm going something with the whole COVID vaccine card, which should pop up on your LA wallet. It's not there. Apparently, the Department of State of Health for Louisiana didn't recognize me. All because it's written as Gus, not Gustavo. I'm like, really? Anyway. Teddy, or Theodore, was talking to local reporters over there in Denver because he's now with the Broncos. Got traded there from the Panthers. He said the following, playing in that system with Sean Payton and Joe Brady, you're asked to do a lot at the line of scrimmage. In the run game, getting guys lined up, IDing the mic in the run and in the pass, a lot was on my plate. So it's prepared me for this chapter. And he goes on to say that experience will help him in this battle here at Denver. But just those 2-3 lines really stood out to me because, Matty, we're going to have a mini camp this month. It is mandatory. So we will see for the first time ever. And you know the first tweet from everybody will be...
Who took the first snaps?
Who took the first team snaps? I mean, that's exactly the first tweet that's going to happen other than nice to be here. Yeah. I'm saying like the first tweet of the first team drill will be which quarterback took the first team snaps. So we will overreact to that, no doubt. But when you look at something like that, so let's just kind of take... let's do the seesaw here. Two columns. Taysom. He should know the offense more in terms of the playbook, right? He's been in several position groups on offense. You would think being able to recite the verbiage, spit it out, line up people, know where people should go, when should motion happen. Matty, line up, get over to the right. Get over. You would assume that that would be the case or not. Compared to Jameis while he was here 1 year, hasn't even really kind of gone through practices in camps and stuff. Now, I don't know. Do you think that's the case or not?
I think there's something to be said about it. A long time ago, right before the Falcons start, I had done a quick thing where with Lance Moore, Todd was actually hosting it. It was a funny thing, but I kind of asked him his opinion, and he brought up a good point how, and it kind of just like you said, like, Taysom's been in the receiver room. He's been in the running back room. Like, he really keenly understands those assignments. I think the question mark everyone might have there was the section about, you know, IDing the mic and the run in the pass game. And a lot of people will probably point back to that Terron Armstead thing where he said he ain't coming, Taysom. But that's not to say that Taysom, you know, couldn't have come up with that on his own. But I was talking to you about this off air. I think that Taysom was put in a very unnatural and very like spotlight on him position when he was under center. And I think, you know, those weren't things that we were really able to say whether or not we could absolutely see for him. But, you know, hypothetically speaking, he should have the edge just based on that knowledge.
Now, what's interesting is I was thinking about it as I was saying this. I don't really recall him taking snaps at quarterback during training camp and stuff. Again, the last time we were there. Mm-hmm. And that it was Drew Teddy. Because, again, we didn't see last year's summer training camp in its entirety. I know some reporters did. But to my knowledge that I know of, and I'll have to ask somebody that was there for some of those practices, how many snaps at quarterback did Taysom Hill take during training camp?
Sure.
But now, I would assume he took some in that he was going to play some preseason. Again, I don't know.
Yeah,
you would think that he would know that, but, you know, one preseason, the last time we saw with Teddy, he did play quarterback. So
he played it well.
Right, so some snaps. So I guess there's some. I just don't know if it's as big a difference as I maybe think it was. Like, yeah. The more I think about it, 5 years starting experience, I know the playbook for 4 years. Great. Well, let me learn the playbook and I'll know what to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know, but that's...
Like,
that's
one person's done it on a game day.
Yeah, but that's why I brought up the... you know, that perspective from Mora, in that I think there's also just as much value when he lined up at the tight end position, when he lined up at the wide receiver position, and just at least really knowing how the assignments on that offense work and how plays are run, not just from the quarterback position, but from the tight end position, from the wide receiver position. He has a lot of knowledge of that as well. So I think that even if there were less snaps taken under center, there's still so much familiarity with the playbook, with the way that he's supposed to line up, how those guys are supposed to block. He's been there himself.
Right.
So I think there is value there. I think just the question comes back to, for at least Taysom, whether or not, you know, the skill set of quarterback is there. But I do think he does have a unique experience in that he wasn't just a gadget quarterback that they brought in for some plays. He caught 7 touchdowns last season and has had some pretty good runs. And he mentioned in his interview with Megan Payton how, you know, he's had to learn how to, like, you know, block on special teams and bulldoze linebackers. And all of that knowledge can sometimes be overwhelming, but I do think it gives a really, like, holistic version of the game that is perhaps unparalleled. So I think if his mentals and his skill set could get up there, it would be really interesting to see, you know, how much of a difference maker that experience could make.
Do you think this is a tighter quarterback battle than a lot of people give it thought of?
Like, in the sense that it's not locked up?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like, do you think legitimately Sean's going to make a decision based on practice, gameplay? Like, what do you think matters most to me? Like, I need to see if it's legit a battle, those things he always said, in and out of the huddle, producing scoring. I think preseason will determine it to me.
I don't think Sean Payton is someone that likes to, like, just start a frenzy for zero reason. So mm-hmm. I think if Jameis was the intended starter, he would have said exactly that. And there wouldn't be this distraction almost of who is it going to be? Because it does add a lot of distraction and scrutiny over the battle. So I think if there wasn't actually a battle there, they wouldn't say that there was a battle, because it's not like that's holding a competitive edge. Because the second that training camp starts and photos come out, then the secret's out kind of thing. So I think when a lot of the time the Saints don't always say a lot, but when they do, you really should just, like, listen to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And he has said, you know, things about Jameis Winston, but he also has said stuff about Taysom Hill. And I think if there was zero plan that Taysom had a shot here, he doesn't get those 4 starts last year. And how much does that affect, you know, his abilities this year? But I quite honestly believe that it's 50-50, and that could change to 75-25 really? The day out of training camp, but I think entering training camp, it is a 50-50.
I think it's important to maybe have that battle be one on the field, because at some point you would imagine that person, that position, by its merits, it's going to wear a C. And if you want to be a captain of a team, you have to earn it. I mean, that's, you want to win a locker room, you have to earn it. You got to prove it. And in sport and in competition and in something like that, that team's got to get your back.
Yeah.
And the way to win that team over is to make plays and prove it that you earned it. So I do like the way Sean's approaching it. Ravens, Jaguars, Cardinals are the 3 preseason games, which is going to be interesting because there's the Jags. Will we see Tim Tebow?
And I think the Ravens are an interesting one to play against as well, especially if Taysom plays a lot in that game, because it'll kind of be, you know, Lamar Jackson versus what we're trying to turn into a version of, right, you know, Lamar Jackson in a sense. So I think kind of seeing that game will be very telling to me, and seeing, you know, if they try to match that on that side or try to make it a pure passing game. But right, I think that's an interesting lineup. And then, yeah, I'm quite honestly, for the chaos alone, I hope Tim Tebow is around for the preseason game that we play them, just because chaos.
Okay, here you go. We only got like a minute here.
Yeah.
Do you think it's one before the Cardinals' third preseason game?
No.
No. Because I mean, the reason I bring that up is because normally the last preseason game, you don't start anybody. That you have to.
Yeah, no, I take
you know?
That back.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, if I think that my start, but do I want to get that extra, you know, series of reps in as well? Because that is a new starting quarterback.
I mean, it's, I actually couldn't entirely rescind that. I had a brain moment because, like, if they're still deciding by that point, then that means that.